sketching out characters, designing levels, and writing code to make everything function. It's an exciting prospect, and countless bright-eyed gamers want to be part of it. I once walked into a video game studio in downtown New York City a few months before it was due to release its next game. One artist beckoned me over to his desk to check out something really cool. Soon a crowd had gathered around the computer, craning their necks to watch a slick, realistic model of a truck roll along a drab gray surface. The artist clicked his mouse a few times and the truck exploded, tires and shards of metal flying across the screen in grisly slow motion. I couldn't muster up quite as much excitement as the designers and programmers around me, but it still made me smile to see how genuinely happy they all seemed to be. Their full-time job was to imagine things and then bring them to life on a computer screen. What could be better? If only it were all glitz, glamour, and exploding cars. The video game industry has a darker side, one that its bosses don't like to brag about on quarterly earnings calls or at E3 press conferences. Even as game companies gobble up more and more money every year, too many of them struggle to provide stable, healthy environments for their workers. All it takes is one flop or sloppy business decision to lead that billion-dollar game publisher to enact a mass layoff or shut down a development studio, no matter how much money it made that year. Sometimes a mistake isn't even necessary. A big company may lay people off once a project is finished, only to rehire for those same positions a few months later, or to please shareholders in time for the next fiscal quarter. Fewer employees mean a cleaner balance sheet. Volatility has become the status quo. Chat with anyone who's worked in video games for more than a few years, and they'll almost certainly have a story about that time they lost their job. Maybe they worked on a game that didn't sell well enough, or they got stuck on a project mismanaged by egomaniacal directors. Maybe their publisher needed to juice the numbers on its newest quarterly earnings report. Maybe they were part of a cost-cutting measure, or a strategic resource realignment, or any of the other jargony euphemisms for "you no longer work here." Mass layoffs and studio closures have become as fundamental to the video game industry as Mario's jumps or Activision's loot boxes. In 2017, the nonprofit International Game Developers Association asked around 1,000 game workers how many employers they'd had in the previous 5 years. Among those who worked full-time, the average response was 2.2 employers. Freelancers said 3.6, suggesting a level of instability that came as no surprise to anyone with experience in this world. The survey's authors added, "Industry churn was also reflected in the limited expectation among employees to remain with their current employers for the long term. Most respondents seemed to expect high job mobility." The following year, reporter James Batchelor at the website gamesindustry.biz counted up all the jobs lost to game studio closures from September 2017 through September 2018 and found that the number was over 1,000, and those were just the ones that had been made public. Working in games has always meant accepting that stable employment is the exception, not the rule. In exchange for the pleasure of creating art for a living, game developers have to accept that it might all fall apart without much notice. Sean McLaughlin, who has worked in video games since 2006, described it as a constant feeling of anxiety. "With all the layoffs I've dealt with, I get a PTSD-type thing whenever there is an email for an all-hands meeting in an office," he told me in an email. "I always think it's to announce a studio closure, even though it's just the team getting together and hearing about things going on around the studio. I'm sure it's a common thing among other developers. I also no longer put more things on my desk than I can carry out in one bag," McLaughlin added. "When I first got in the industry, I would have the common toys and collectibles on my desk. Now my desk is barren and only has photos and a book or two in case I get laid off again." You might think, well, that sounds like any creative field. But unlike Hollywood, in which workers shift between contracts as movies weave in and out of production, the video game industry sells the illusion of full-time employment. Job listings for massive publishers like Take-Two and EA advertise careers, not gigs. Unless a developer is on a temporary contract, there's an expectation that when they're finished with their current game, they'll move on to the next one. Keeping people around for the long haul makes sense. The tools that each studio uses to make video games are unique and complicated. Once a developer has put in the time to learn those tools, they'll be more efficient than new recruits. Plus, the chemistry developed over years of working together can be invaluable, as anyone who's worked on a collaborative creative project or a group science experiment can attest. So why is it that the people making financial decisions in the video game industry don't seem to care? I had a long chat with veteran game designer Katie Chironis about this volatility. Chironis, who has worked for the gaming giants Microsoft, Oculus, and Riot,